www.radio.nz. We're going to get straight into it because we're running out of time, but we've just started. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. How you doing? Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, look, I'm cutting straight to the chase with no introduction or anything, but we do have people listening in right now. So welcome to Kiwi Radio, Chris.
Ah, thank you so much. Yeah, you caught me between lessons. How good.
Oh, well, you know, time is ticking, so let's get started. Albie and the Wolves, only like the biggest band in New Zealand right now, right? What are you guys up to?
Well, I am so glad you think so. Look, we're just off the back of releasing our third record. Last year, that was our main deal. We did we took an 11-piece band on the road for 3 dates in New Zealand, and that album took 2.5 years to make. So as we did all of that, we sort of chilled out for a little bit. We got a couple tours in the works. We got a show at the Wine Cellar on May 16th, but that's going to be announced on Friday. It's unannounced as is.
Well, you've announced it here to Jenny, Bonnie, and Matthew. So that's your first three right there.
Bam! Let's go. Yeah, we're doing a Wine Cellar show. We're playing it with a drummer. We're going to get a ruckus. We're playing with The Rooms and a band called Big Sir. I'm very excited.
Very cool. So May 16th, right?
Yeah.
Wine Cellar, you heard it first here at kiwiradio.nz before the official announcement. Now, Albie and the Wolves, I've done a ton of research on you guys because I'm actually quite the fan. You've been doing this project, I hear, for like a third of your life, right?
Roundabouts, man. Plucky young 22-year-old moves to Auckland.
What's changed during that time? Have you become more cynical or more realistic? Like, tell us your journey, man, like in a real kind of, you know, truth bomb, you know?
I'd say the main thing is I'm more organized, you know? I spend a couple of days a week teaching. I perform in the weekends. And devoting as much time as I can to this project, it means that every minute counts. And so I'd say that thing. I wouldn't say I'm more cynical. I think I just kind of have a better understanding of what the music industry is, and you know, still that same enthusiasm, but a little bit more level headed. And I think I'm kind of keen to take bigger risks in a weird way. But I just want to really sit down and plan out what those might be, and you know, to have the payoff, either be it a financial or creative rewards, you know. So I don't know. I know what I'm doing, he says.
But risks can be great, because I've seen your I've heard your sound evolve over the years, and risks can create, you know, new sounds and that sort of thing as well. So what can we expect from like this latest record? Where are you guys genre wise are you still indie folk, or where are you at for 2024?
I think it's really on the cusp of indie folk now, if we're being real. Like when people referred to some of the new tunes as though they were Van Morrison-esque type things. I don't know. I think if you'd seen us in our hate pretty early on, if you caught us at Portland Public House or Grand Central, there'd be certainly like a Mumford and Sons comparison, especially when we had the banjo and whatnot. And now there's not really that at all. It's a bunch more contemplative, you know. I've got songs on there about sobriety, you know, growing up a little bit. Yeah, just it's the same thing, but a bit more thoughtful and a bit more expansive. The opening track, for example, we took a swing at a full-on pop song, and at least what we think pop to be.
After the Dark? Is that your pop number now?
Next to Me is the pop number. Light After the Dark is, I don't know what that is.
I might play Next to Me then as your pop number and see where people are at. So other than Wine Cellar, I mean, are you guys feeling good about this record? 2 years in the making is quite a long time. Has it been quite smooth sailing? Has the record like changed from those early betas? I mean, tell us a little bit about your journey. Was it painful? Was it fun?
I would say that this tour and this album are the closest to breaking me emotionally and mentally that I've ever come. Like, if you want the absolute truth bomb, like it was,
that's what we want.
Yeah, it was absolute fights for so long. When we finished the last mixing session, it was like 12 hours long, and I walked out of the room with immense relief. I'm incredibly proud of the thing we made, but you know, it wasn't an easy process. COVID got in the way a lot. You know, we'd have like a session before we were going into the studio for a week. I got to do 8 hours of guitar tracking, and then the next day I tested positive, and just the disarray that led. And I was trying to find cover and sort things out whilst feeling really, really rubbish, just for one example. I feel like the blood, sweat and tears really went into this one.
That almost never got released, but what got you going on those sort of like the darkest days? What got you, were you picturing a long deserted island with your music being blasted on every station? What were you thinking on those sort of like dark moments and to get what? To the finish line, you know?
I just wanted to see what happened.
Mm.
It's less about an outcome, because let's be honest, you don't know what's going to happen with your record when you put it out. Maybe a song will go viral on TikTok and that could be career changing. Or maybe you just push your career and your status a little bit further down the track. Maybe you have a few more sales and you continue trudging along. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. And so that, I think that you're going to set yourself up for a bit of a rough surprise if you have these expectations of what it's going to be. And so I just wanted to see what would happen, how it all came together. That's the true joy. And also hearing arrangements make sense after toiling away and knowing they didn't right until that final moment. In a track called A Little Time, there's like, we went really wall of sound. There's like 30 or 40 tracks in there to build that thing. And during the mixing process, it fell together and it made sense. But there were times when I listened to what we'd done and I was like, oh, this isn't what I envisaged, and nor am I satisfied with it. But then you have to kind of go, well, actually, this hasn't had any treatment. This is a mess of ideas. It doesn't function as a song yet. Just to wait and see, and with a little bit of hope mixed in between.
It's a little bit like painting when you're making a record, isn't it? You kind of just start with some stroke, some strokes, paint strokes, fill in the colors. And so yeah. when do you tell yourself a song is done though?
In a band, it's easy because it's a collective decision.
Mm.
It's kind of a little cop-out, but when you have a producer there who you trust and you have your bandmates who you trust, you sort of agree. You're like, sweet, this is actually all it needs to be. I think when you're in the writing room by yourself, I think that answer is harder to pin down, but in the sense with a band, especially with a producer who's there. And I mean, good old financial constraints can come in handy in that sense. the money bag always runs out eventually. But I hate to say this, I have to dash. I would love to chat more. I know Pascal is waiting for you to talk. he's waiting for you.
Hey, man, I'm so delighted for the couple of minutes that we get to talk to the biggest band in New Zealand, and that's what I'm coining you as. Hey, look, you've given me some nuggets, and I really appreciate your time. We're going to start the show with your Next Me track, and I hope everyone goes and check you out at Wine Cellar, and I wish you guys all the best for 2024, man. I think you're kicking ass.
Hey, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate your support and your time. And thank you so much.
Awesome, Chris. Well, keep rocking and stay cool. Stay creative. This is Kiwi Radio, and you heard it from the man, Albie and the Wolves.
Make me hot, girl, when we talk about us. Hell, your hair falls down my shirt, girl, in the morning sun. I'm still reeling from the weekend when we went out. Ain't no place that we can't go, follow light and sound. What are you gonna do now? What are you gonna do now? Oh, 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 oh. You wanna get next to me, next to me, next to me. Oh, 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 oh. Get next to me, next to me, next to me. Is this real or part of me? Subliminal messaging. Oh, 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 oh. Do you wanna get next to me, next to me, next to me? first impressions do not last, girl. Fall out of love. Speaking different languages, girl, in foreign tongues. I'm still reeling from the weekend when we went out. Ain't no place that we can go follow light and sound. What are you gonna do now? What are you gonna do now? Oh, 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 oh. Do you wanna get next to me? Next to me? Next to me? Oh, 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 oh. Do you wanna get next to me? Next to me? Next to me? Is this real or about time thing? Seven and all messages. Oh, 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 oh. Do you wanna get next to me? Next to me? Next to me? Oh, 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 oh. Do you wanna get next to me? Next to me? Next to me? How you gonna get? How you gonna get home? Don't wanna spend your night alone. How you gonna, when you gonna get home? Oh, 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 oh.
You're tuned into KiwiRadio.nz. We had a few minutes there from the singer of Albion the Wolves. Chris, thanks so much for joining us today. They are one of the busiest and biggest bands of New Zealand right now. If you like indie folk, make sure to check them out at Whammy Bar. More details on their website. Albion and the Wolves, go check them out. It's not very easy to get them in the studio, so I really do appreciate the few minutes that Chris had there. Speaking of not making things easy, this next track is also by Albion and the Wolves called It Ain't Easy.
My troubles ended. Things felt kind of easy. It ain't easy to be one. Travel season, travel oceans. You're the one who made me want to get up and leave my precious home. It ain't easy, it ain't easy to be loved by you. It ain't easy, it ain't easy to be one with you. What I'm thinking of, and when I sleep, you're the what I'm dreaming of. I cannot wait to cross the border. Got some backup from all that those times. It ain't easy. It ain't easy to be loved by you. It ain't easy. It ain't easy to be one with you. Please steal away, I'm coming for you. Please dear wait, 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 I'm coming for you. It ain't easy, it ain't easy to be loved by you. It ain't easy to be one with you. It ain't easy to be loved by you.
You're tuned into KiwiRadio.nz. These are the new sounds of Albie and the Wolves. Now, I will try and call the other band member right now. It may be a hit or miss. This is live radio.
Hello, folks. We are Albie and the Wolves. We're doing a few songs for Music Month.
There we go. Hello.
Hi there.
Pascal, how are you?
I'm all right.
Well, we're winging it by the seats here, but we are talking to one of the busiest bands and biggest bands of New Zealand, as I actually got Chris to come on the podcast for a few minutes earlier as well, so that's fun. But you're representing as well. So tell us a little bit about this new record. Chris mentioned it was Blood, Sweat and Tears, but you got it done in 2 years and it's out. It's there. The baby's out.
It is. It is absolutely out. Yes. It was a delightful prompting from our lovely record label.
Really? Tell us.
We got together and we were trying a bunch of different ideas, and we played them to him and to Matara Smith, and he was like, "Oh, maybe you should try a little bit of this or a little bit of that." And for some of the tracks, I kind of went a little overboard, which was fun, and recorded and ended up writing a whole pile of string parts, which ended up being like about 50 or 60 sort of lines worth of full-on string sections, and also sang brass sections, and then it got them arranged by a buddy of mine from those and used them. I think we've got from about 16 down to like 12, or I don't know how many tracks there are at the moment. My poor brain. But yeah, it was a lot. We tried a lot of different things and a lot of different vibes. It's a hell of a lot to get through for everyone. So yeah, it was it's kind of amazing. And we finished off having an 11-piece band play them live in 3 shows around the country, which was kind of an epic experience for Albie and the Wolves, because we're normally a 3-piece.
Chris gave us a sneak preview of your next gig coming up in Wine Cellar. How are you feeling and preparing for it?
Oh yeah, no, that should be an absolute laugh. I think we've got the Rooms coming in and playing that as well. Yeah, we're going to try. Basically, this album is just about trying a bunch of sort of different things and stretching and seeing how far we get.
People expect for that particular gig? What are you going to be doing set wise?
I'm not sure what we're going to be doing set wise. I presume we're going to be doing a fair amount of the new album.
Nice.
and we're going to probably be trying a few different tricks and pieces in there. It'll certainly be a different sound or a different approach than we've had at other gigs. It certainly won't be like any of the other shows that we've done exactly. We'll still be singing and playing, but there'll be other funny noises and bits and pieces going on there as well, to try and replicate some of the album in a more portable format.
Now, I've been checking out your socials. You've been, flying around New Zealand to wonderful audiences around Aotearoa. And I've actually found a little bit of a golden nugget, being the Kiwi music enthusiast that I am, and noticed that some of the band members that went on tour are actually some of the members from previous projects of yours, like Miho Wada.
Well,
what's that all about? Are they actually playing with Albie now?
We had these 3 shows with a bunch of people, including the very lovely Miho Wada. and we had Good Habits, who are on tour, who are good friends of the band. And we also had Strangely Arising trombone player. I'm just blanking at the moment, but he's fantastic. So we just sort of got a bunch of friends and put them together to make this crazy 11-piece sort of monstrosity for a band, to make a very big noise and to have a lot of fun with. And it was really an amazing experience. It was a real delight actually moving around in a group. It reminded me almost like when I was in a when I was in like youth orchestras, there would just be people playing in other rooms and be like, oh, hi guys. Oh, we can have a jam. Oh, yeah, let's do that. It was really fantastic. And
that's awesome.
And you kind of get used to, being on the road and sort of being professional, and that's just what you do. But there's, you know, some people are like, oh my God, this is so cool. And it kind of reminds you that, yeah, it is really cool, actually.
I mean, for me, as a huge fan of New Zealand music, back when I used to do FM radio and everything of the mainstream radio stations, and now I've got like created this thing on the internet called kiwiradio.nz. I certainly have been following your career because I'm first of all, I'm so delighted to be talking to you. I know you guys are very busy creatives getting your music out to the world, but Pascal Rogan, who I'm speaking to right now, is probably the violin player that you want in your band. So what's the demand like for Mr. Pascal in 2024? Be honest.
I'm having my fourth day off this at the moment, which is really nice.
So 4 days off in 365, something like that?
Well, no, just this particular. No, this year was crazy. I did about 2 months of work with Pop-Up Globe. And I performed and I went to all the rehearsals. It was kind of my first 9-to-5 job, which is strange, like 40 hours a week. And I wrote sort of about half the music for Romeo and Juliet. And Paul McClaney wrote some other things. And then I've been playing with DJs, usually the Sweet Mix Kids, but I also work with others as well. And I've played with Neo's Jazz Orchestra, of course. We've been playing some festivals for that as well. And people ask me to record for them and do work for other bits and pieces. So
You're a superstar, man. And I actually want to plug your website as well. I know we're doing the Albie and the Wolves plug, and it's very important because Albie do have a new record in 2024. Don't forget it. Your ears. But Pascal Rogan, if you are, you know, curious about his colorful Celtic, African country, gypsy Cuban history, and jazz, funk,
metal,
rock,
doom metal,
pop,
classical.
Everything, really, right? So you're a virtuoso in your own right. So Pascal Rogan has a website. It's PascalRogan.com. Looking very cool right there in the skate park with your violin, with your electric violin. I do feel like I'm kind of like, you know, hyping you up, but you are amazing at your instrument. So well done on that. I mean, how long have you been playing collectively now on the violin? How long has it been? I mean, that's going to give away your age, but, you know.
Oh, it definitely is,
I just want to remind people, you know, that 10,000 plus hours is the minimum to be this amazing at your instrument. I mean, how long have you been doing it, man?
I think I worked out not too long ago that I've probably done at least sort of 30,000 hours, which is kind of ridiculous.
For sure.
My first international tour was in 1989, playing Swiss folk music in China, Taiwan, Japan, and Hong Kong. And I got to see a little bit of the Tiananmen Square Massacre from the tour bus.
What?
Where's
the documentary come out, Pascal? Be honest. Where's the film?
It's very silly, but my whole life's been a bit crazy like that. I mean, last year I went to Europe and I played with a very fabulous Shez Raja, who's an Indo jazz fusion bassist over there. And I had a month in between, and in that month I ended up getting roped in to play at Amy Winehouse's Trumpeters album launch. I got to record with a crazy band called Chrome Hoop, who's a bassist who was in a band whom I also recorded with called Cathedral, whose lead singer was the lead singer of Napalm Death. I got music and I learned it on the train ride from Switzerland to London to play with a guy I've never met in person to do a metal gig with a band called The Raven Age. And then at that gig, I met Steve Harris, the bassist for Iron Maiden, who was playing a few shows in the O2 the next couple of nights, and he picked me up and drove and I got to hang out with the band there. because he liked what I did on the show, which was really lovely. And then I crashed in his bus that night, and then I went off to play some weird jazz fusion the next day. It's yeah, I made friends with the Wu-Tang Clan. I've had some silly times.
It's amazing how the doors just open. Really, I was just recently watching a documentary. YouTube video of the guy that does the front of house for Disturbed and Enrique Iglesias. He's a musician in his own right, but he just kind of fell into that kind of world and people kept calling him. It's amazing how he was talking about the different genres. And, you know, like, and then he started, you know, Linkin Park asked him to do front of house. And they're like, well, you know, your resume is kind of weird because you do Enrique and then also, you know, which is nothing like Linkin Park. And he's like, music is music is what he summed it up as. And you're absolutely right. And with your virtuoso-ness in the violin, I mean, every genre really could do with a bit of violin. Really?
It certainly can do. And every genre has its own sort of particular sort of dialect to learn. And every time you do a different genre, you won't be able to hear what it is that works. It always happens like this where you swear that you're playing exactly what you heard, and then somebody will be saying, no, that's not what you heard at all. Your mm-hmm. brain is just making up something to fill in the space because you don't understand what that is. And then it's breaking it down to the point that you can finally hear it. It's like seeing a new color. You know, it's like, I mean, when you hear a pop singer, when you hear a opera singer singing pop and it sounds all strange, it's the same sort of thing. You know, if you're really good at jazz, you can sort of play over sort of any chord, but you know, can you play reggae? Can you play blues? Cause the language isn't right. Can you move people in that way? Mm-hmm. And every time you do it, it's this, start from basics and get to the point where somebody says you've got it, or maybe you can hear that somebody else doesn't. And it's a fabulous experience because anytime you hear something that you can't quite get, you know, that's the thing to look for because you're going to get better because of it. You're going to open up some more things in your head that you can do. And that's always for me the best thing is finding a bit of frustration and going, oh yes, I found something I can't do. Amazing. Let's go and get to the point where I can hear it. Mm-hmm. And every genre is like that. Even playing with DJs is such a strange thing compared to playing with a band, because you're stuck
with Sweet Mix Kids, you mean?
Yeah, with Sweet Mix Kids. I mean, I've played with a bunch of others as well, but I've played with
Have you met Josh Lees? He's played with them. Have you met Josh Lees?
I probably have. Does he play?
He's kind of like the Justin Timberlake of New Zealand. He's a friend of mine. He's a singer. He's one man looping station, really. He's played with them with the DJ thing. And so what's it like? I mean, like, so you've played a rave, right? What was the most recent rave you've played? And what do you think of audiences like that compared to, say, like a traditional gig?
It depends what you're doing. If you can move them, then you get to move them pretty much.
Yeah. That's what music is, right? You're in the business of emotions, essentially.
Albie and the Wolves has got some of the strangest, like, broadest sort of shows.
Right.
From sort of being in a pub where people are just doing pub stuff to being at a festival where people are jumping up and cheering to being in a theatre where people are quiet and watching and, you know, paying attention and laughing at the stories that you do. It sort of goes for a large... you know, if you see us in one place, it might be a very different show to another place. I remember that we did an album launch, I think for our second album, and the audience didn't know how to deal with each other.
Really?
because there were some people there that were talking to each other and like acting like it was like a pub gig, and there were others that were like it was a theater gig, and there were others that were dancing. Like it's very strange to have these different groups of people that have enjoyed us in different ways, because you know we've had a few years where we played like 80 or 90 shows, you just get used to playing in different situations and you're working an audience in a different way because that's what the event requires for that. And some people love you in that sort of moment. Yeah.
I never really thought of it that way because, you know, when I asked you what you're going to play at the Whammy Bar set, you were like, well, we're depends what happens on the day. But you're absolutely right, because as curators of the soundtrack of the evening, yeah, it really all depends. You know, you could have 50 of this kind of demographic that Rick walks in, or, you know, so how do you kind of read a room, though, for that?
There's, for that, well, I mean, we, well, and it will mainly be Chris who sort of comes up with sort of the set list. Yeah. But if there's a feeling that happens in the room, if they're like, you know, if an audience is up and pumping yeah. immediately, like that's going to change how we sort of attack a set. You know, can we move yeah. people into a place where they're okay to be quiet for a moment? Like, are people going to get tired?
Yeah.
Are they just up the whole time? You know, are they ready for a story? Like, if we do a story, is it going to have to absolutely, you know, sort of, like, which one are we going to do? How much are we going to be able to hold their attention?
Right.
And there's lots of tricks and things that you can do. I mean, I don't like calling it tricks, but you feel, it's the same as in a conversation. If you feel somebody sort of moving away, then you can find something to bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that can just be being quiet as well. You know, there's some shows where if you hear somebody talking over there, I feel that if I do a little something, they'll pay attention, and that happens. And mm-hmm. it's wonderful because you get this unspoken sort of moments. James Brown was always like, you know, if you want people to listen to you, shut up. It's,
what did he so say? Shout.
No, shut up. Stop, be quiet.
Just like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, if you're loud and then all of a sudden there's nothing, everyone's like,
yeah.
Huh? Right. And then they pay attention because it's of
like
the change.
It's like that horror, the classical horror movie you know, formula, where before the big reveal of the monster, you have the quiet, right?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. I love how in depth you think about the music. This is fun.
It's really, yeah, it's that contrast thing.
Yeah,
it's, you know, how big are those? You know, and also if everything's contrast all the time, then people get used to that. So
right.
it's being able to move people to a point where they're comfortable, and then changing it.
Because how many records are you in now with Albie and the Wolves? Because Chris was saying, you know, it's a third of his life. So how many records are we talking here for that project?
Well, for that project, we've done 3 and an EP. And, yeah, I guess we've kind of gotten one out every sort of 3 years or so, I guess, just about.
How do you do yeah. that? How do you stay, like, who's writing most of the music here for that kind of productivity?
That sort of stuff. Well, Chris writes a good set of the bones of the song. Sometimes yeah. he'll come and we're like, that's grand. But very often we'll go hammer and tongs and sort of work out better parts or not. And that's a really interesting process because mm-hmm. you know, nobody comes in with an idea of that, oh, this is not exactly, you know, you usually come in with a, I really like this. And then you've got the other two of us, you know, who'll be like, oh, that can be better. I don't understand this. And we've had songs where I've sat down and I'm like, that's not the best for your voice. You know, I think if we do this, that will come across better. And so it's a process writing in a band
yeah.
because it's never going to be exactly what it is to begin with. You know, when you write it and you know, we're from 3 different generations,
mm-hmm.
In the band with 3 rather different backgrounds, and what's really nice about it is that nothing is really off limits.
Mm.
You know, like people, you know, we're a folk band because we have folk instruments, mm-hmm. I guess. But
really are underplaying this. You are one of the biggest bands of New Zealand. I only say that because of the output that you're putting in terms of gigs, releases, everything. You're saying one record in every 3 years. That's an amazing output. What has kept you together as a band of brothers? What has kept it fun for you guys for all these records, you know?
Well, I mean, part of it is just that we're not kind of trapped in a box.
Yeah, that's so true.
We'll have an idea, like we'll be a song and we'll be like, oh, I like that song. Let's make something work with that. And it doesn't have to be anything in particular, yeah. just what sounds good for that.
And I like what Chris said in the earlier 5 minutes that we had him, is that there is that element of curiosity and willingness to try things with your group. And you're absolutely right. You're not pigeonholed as Albie and the Wolves. It can literally be anything. You know, so it's almost us as the audience, we're left anticipating things because, I mean, I first heard of Albie and the Wolves because there's, you know, similarities to you guys with, say, Mumford and Sons, which is a band that I really like, you know. And so that's kind of got that, you know, what got me perked up in terms of listening to you guys. But now that I listen to you, there's elements of pop, there's elements of folk for certainly, but yeah, you never quite know what's going to happen next with Albie and the Wolves. And I think that's what makes it very, very exciting to follow.
Yeah, and also just as a band. I mean, I've been in a lot of bands, but to have everybody be on the same page to be able to go play music together, there's a lot to be said for the people that you can work with.
Yeah,
I mean, you could have the best players in the world, and if it's not actually fun or you're not giving it your all, there's not much point. And I've played with some absolute monsters in my time, which is fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a numbers game. You're bound to.
Yeah, but it's can you, you know, are you working together? Are you making music together? Is it like a team thing? And is everybody able to, you know, play in the band? You know, some people just don't have the time for that sort of stuff. Or they don't realize the work that's involved to get to the point. I mean, I played in a wonderful band in London, and while I really, really loved playing it, it was really super awesome thing. Two of the members like had day jobs, and while we played Glastonbury, which was great, they still were not willing to even give up one of the days on the weekend to maybe not go to the pub and save up money to do a tour.
Yes.
And which is heartbreaking. And when you put sort of so much time and effort into sort of that sort of stuff, and it's wild. You know, you think, oh, you're just going to be in a band, people will do what you like, and if you make cool music, then you're just going to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. But there are many, many things that come in the way of having a band work, and to find a band that works is incredible. So I've been a professional since 98.
Yeah.
And so, you know, finding Chris and Michael, thanks hilariously to Matt, but that is a story for another day. You know, it's like, here's a functioning band, and we're playing and we're doing stuff, and then we went to Aussie. We would have been going to the States had it not been for COVID.
Yes.
So that's sort of the sticky wicky kind of stuff. You keep doing things. It's hard to. I just realized that I haven't really planned anything in my life. Mm-hmm. I just keep
that's
trying
exactly
to be good.
What this guy said, who does front of house for Disturbed /Enrique Iglesias. I can never say his name for some reason. It is a tough
Enrique Iglesias. Enrique.
He absolutely right. He just kept turning up. He was obviously good at what he did. That's a big part of it. You're very good on the violin. That's a big part of your success. But he kept turning up, but he never really had a plan. It just happened. Life happened. Yeah,
the main thing is like, if you are good at what you do and you're willing to learn and you're nice to be around.
Absolutely.
Then you're probably going to get work.
Yes.
Most likely. Especially in sort of strange jobs like this. The fact that I can speak normally to people is kind of, there are some, like, I mean, with the Wu-Tang guys, that's a strange ass story, but like, their keys player sort of messaged me back after we sort of hung out till 4:30 in the morning, at an after show, and was like, man, it's so happy you make me believe that good still want to exist in the world. And I was just talking to you like a normal person. Like, that was one of the nicest messages I've ever gotten, but also one of the saddest, because if you're constantly surrounded by people that are just using you for something, you know, just or like trying to sell themselves or all that sort of stuff, that can be very alienating.
There's a really good quote out there. You know, you become the average of the five closest people around you. So tell me about those five people. So you've obviously got two in Albie, But who's your core tribe here that keeps you grounded? Obviously, you're very talented, so you could have had your ego get to you, obviously, and been a bit of a rock star saying, you know, only blue M&Ms in the rider, please. But who keeps you grounded? Is it your... Who is it?
Well, I mean, my lovely wife, Miho.
That makes sense. Miho is your wife?
Yep, for 20 years. Yeah, absolutely.
See, these golden nuggets, you actually make a great podcast guest because, you know, podcasts are about stories. We've heard your music, right? But when you get to talk to the artist and it's just, you know, one-on-one, like a living room conversation, and they're such a nice person, it just, I don't know, it elevates my appreciation for your music even more. I know Linkin Park used to talk about this all the time. You know, they would always say hello to people after the shows, and I feel like you're that. You're such a cool guy.
It's really important to say hi. I mean, the job is from the moment you get to the venue to the moment you leave.
Yeah.
And that can also get really weird for, you know, partners as well, because like, why didn't you talk to me today? It's just because I had to talk to everybody else.
Right.
And part of the job is to say hello to everybody that's working at the place, you know, try and remember everyone's names. It's very nice when you do. It's always worth at least asking and doing that, because, you know, you're working, that's the business. You've got to be, you know, take other people seriously, and hopefully they'll take you seriously as well. And then afterwards you have an audience, you know, audience members, and going and speaking to them is always a delight, and it's really fun for them as well. And that's still part of the show, because there's music everywhere, constantly, all the time. And you know, if you don't make a connection, it's much harder to remember things. You might have a nice night, but if you also had a lovely time with the bass or the drummer or the violinist, you know, you'll remember that. And it'll always color how you feel the show went. And I love that, because I've met so many people with their own stories and, you know, their own great nights and everything else. And you learn so much about humanity just doing that. And it's delight. And you end up getting good at just being able to speak to people.
For sure.
I used to be terrible at it.
30,000 hours.
Pretty much. That's right. And it's you know, and for anybody that's out there that, you know, is worried about going out and talking to people, just go and do it. You'll be surprised, because people also, usually if somebody doesn't like you, they won't talk to you. It's almost invariably going to be a good time regardless.
Well, Pascal, congratulations on the new record, Albie and the Wolves. You're an amazing musician. I think so, and very inspiring. I thank you so much for taking the time to do the podcast. We are at the tail end of the music, and this, what are we, episode 107 now? So if you're ever in North Auckland, we had our first in-studio performance as well. We're becoming the new, like, what's that one where they perform on a desk, tiny desk?
KiwiRadio.nz.
Keep an eye out. You're always welcome if you're in North Auckland. Do a little folk number for us. But I'll flick you.
That'd be super fun, man. Yeah.
We were a couple of minutes from the beach. You could go to the beach afterwards. Why not? It might even spark a song.
As long as it's, you know, sunset or later, going to the beach would be great, because we have an albino and I burn in the sun. So beaches are beautiful. But
no, awesome. Well, the invitation's out there. I thank you so much for your time. You guys are very hard to get, but understandably very focused in your music, and that's what I really expect. Albie and the Wolves has a brand new album. Is there any particular song you want me to play as the closing off song? Something that you're really, you know, proud of? Is it Light After the Dark? Is it Pitter Patter? What's the song that you really enjoy playing and are really proud of?
I mean, I enjoy all of them. It's really annoying. I mean, Pitter Patter is gorgeous. And I mean, I really like Jeepers Creepers.
We'll play Pitter Patter.
it's not the biggest, uppest, most energetic one before, but okay. it's
We've played it's Next gorgeous. To Me, and we've played a couple of others, but we'll go with Pitter Patter. Let's just random luck of the draw. But if you do want to check out the rest of this wonderful Americana band from New Zealand, albieandthewolves.com is the website. Ooh. Pascal, thank you so much for taking the time. It is around about 8 p.m. now in New Zealand, the fastest hour of radio. We want to say stay cool, stay creative, and have the most fun gig in Whammy. And yeah, hope to hear more wonderful music from you, which
Thanks
I'm sure
so much
we will.
For the time, eh? Yeah, we'll do.
Pascal, keep rocking. You are an absolute rock star. And that is the end of the show, guys. Thank you so much for listening to KiwiRadio.nz, where we showcase New Zealand music each and every week, 7 p.m. New Zealand time. I am your host, Ralphie, signing off now with Albie and the Wolves.
I hear the pitter patter. I see the glitz and glamour of the street. It doesn't suit me. But I am getting tangled. Up with other mammals on the scene. We had a dream. Lay my head, I can't see. Cold.
Radio, so beautiful. If you're a fan of Mumford & Sons, one of the biggest folk bands out there right now is Albie and the Wolves. We want to say thank you. That is the end of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in to KiwiRadio.nz. If you want to catch this on replay, make sure you head over to our website for MP3 downloads. I want to say thank you to our sponsor, AucklandMamaMarket.co.nz. And if you want to be part of the show, head over to Instagram.com/KiwiRadio.nz and send us a message. For now, stay cool, stay creative. We'll catch you next time. Same channel, Tuesdays, 7 p.m. here on the radio station. Bye-bye, everybody. Chowder.